We're going to go ahead and roll into our post-race media availability for the Gander RV Duel number 2 here at Daytona International Speedway. And we're joined by Brendan Gaughan, driver of the number 62 Beard Oil distributing South Point Chevrolet, who has raced his way into the Great American Race here at Daytona. We'll start it off with questions. Jacob?
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sports. So Wednesday during media day, you looked at me and said, "I'm having the time of my life. Are you still having fun right now?"
I am, and I was lying out of my eyeballs to everybody that I wasn't nervous. You know, I haven't been this nervous since I was a rookie in the Winston West Series. I can't tell you. I mean, I just the butterflies I felt coming up to this race. And you know me, I'm a class clown, and I try to relax, but I never want to come down here again and not lock myself in qualifying. I make a vow that if I come back with the Beard Motorsports team ever, that we will make sure that we are the fastest in qualifying again, no matter what, because this absolutely sucks and I'm too old to feel these butterflies.
So you're in the show. Because you raced your way in and had to go through all that, does this feel a little more special than maybe in past years?
You know, no, the Daytona 500 is special. I don't care if you start 40th and got the pole or if you, you know, it's special. It's just exciting that we got it in. We had to do it the hard way. But like I said, I don't want to do it the hard way again. I'd rather do the easy way. It's much more simple.
Thank God you did.
We're also joined by our runner-up, Clint Bowyer, driver of the number 14, Rush Truck Center's Mobile 1 Ford for Stuart Haas Racing. We're going to go to Rob here with a question and then come up front the mat.
Big night. Hey, Clint. Rob Collins, Fox 4 in Kansas City. You told us earlier that the Fords are fast and you want to get out in front of the lights, in front of everybody tonight. You did that. Came up a little short, but can you tell us what you found out from the car tonight?
Happy with the Mustang. You know, that's a tall order. Bringing a new car to the forefront like Ford has done and put them in a winner's circle today in both races was huge. Obviously, I wanted it to be, you know, my Rush Truck Center's Ford, but it wasn't. Tough deal like that. You know, when they're single file like that, I mean, really, the only thing I can do is manage, you know, Denny behind me in the mirror. That's the only one I can see. I can't tell who's getting runs behind him or what's formulating behind him. I mean, Brett was telling me that they were backing up to get runs, but what do? You know, the only thing you can do is manage the gap in between you and Denny and keep an eye on that. And to be honest with you, I thought I was pretty good. Even if he was going to get a run on me, I was going to give him the inside and you know, be able to rely on three other Fords. But the fourth place car comes with a big run like that. I mean, by the time, like I said, you can't see anything. And then when he, dipped out of the chain, and you know, I saw the run that he had, and I mean, then you can pull down there and block, and he's going to get to your outside, which we've seen time and time again for a week. You don't want anybody to get to your outside, so I tried to give him the bottom, and I really didn't think he'd clear me, but he did. So, guess what? He won.
You almost won. I didn't see it. Sorry.
You almost did. You almost didn't make the race.
That's right. I almost did, but I did.
We're going to go to Matt and then to Holly.
You did finish second. Nice job.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. I got one for both of you guys. First for Brendan. At the start of the race, you and Joey seemed like you were just content to have a match race for 60 laps.
No, I was not content to have the match race. Joey is one of the tough, in the Xfinity Series, is one of the toughest guys to pass on our stricter plate, and he side-drafted the hell out of me. I finally had to back up and do just thank you to Richard Childress and ECR Motors. I just did a mono man-to-man move, and I had more motor. You know, I mean, I flat out backed up, got a run, made sure I kept him pinned as much as I could, and did a single one-on-one move to get him. And once that happened, I knew that we'd be able to pull away because I knew my motor was that good. And then I just started looking for friends, and unfortunately, it was Casey Mears, who the other guy had to race to get in. But Casey had an ECR motor, and I knew that we would be fast enough to at least run a speed. So at that point, we formulated a new plan, had to go to a whole new strategy, and just pick up a few friends and race the rest of our race from there, and it worked out for me.
Yeah, and that answers my other question for you. For Clint, we've seen a lot of single file. That's been kind of the story for the Clash and both duels. Is that a matter of just the lack of incentive to race, and do you expect that to change now? It's the 500 stage racing, points on the line.
Man, I mean, it was that way, you know. Talladega last year was that way, and you know, we ended up, you know, dominating that race. And you know, I think you're going to see everybody learns, you know, through the course of the speed weeks. Everybody learns, every manufacturer learns, every organization learns. And I think you may see organizations start pairing up and trying to overcome, you know, what you have there. But at the end of the day, as long as that's doable and you know, as strong as it is, you know, that's a pretty tough thing to outrun. I mean, obviously we've seen three wide, you know, and at least two wide for the better part of a lot of these races. But over the years, I mean, how many times have we seen Dale Jr. drag everybody on the outside and make a, you know, a chain out of that thing? No, I don't like that. That was leading the race, and I didn't like that. Like I said, I mean, you're kind of you know they're going to get runs, and the only thing you can do is manage a guy behind you. You know what I mean? What are you going to do with the fourth place guy? I was floored. I floored it. It was wide open. So
couldn't have that other gear like Days of Thunder.
No. At least I didn't go to the man on man. You went
come
to
on now. Mono on mono. You like that line right there? Come
talk
on.
Talk about kicking wise down. You know, I drug him to the man on man. I overcame.
Hey,
thank God you threw an more motor or something. I was like, gosh.
Either way, mono on mono, motor to motor. I'll either one.
You went
to
man on man, man to man.
That's right.
It was man to man. You said.
Well, it probably was a bad weight class, though. I mean,
Holly Kane.
Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. Clint, were you a little surprised to see somebody come all the way from fourth to be able to get around up to the front? And secondly, Ford's finished 1-2-3 in both of the duels, so that's got to be encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, picking up, you know, where you left off, you know, obviously the Fords are very strong on the restrictor plates. Last year, they were strong all year long, you know, but it's exciting to bring a whole new car. I mean, we've seen other, you know, manufacturers struggle with doing that. And I'm not saying, you know, just because you're fast at Daytona means anything, but it is a breath of fresh air when you see how much hard work and dedication went into bringing the Mustang to the racetrack to see that reward pay off a little bit. But, you know, obviously, as we go leave Daytona, and move off into some of these mile and a halfs and the short tracks at West Coast Swing and stuff like that. You know, we'll see how the Mustang is, but for now, we're definitely picked up where we left off. And you got to give credit where credit's due, and you can't forget old Doug Yates and his boys over there in Rash Yates. That's the horsepower, that's the steam, and they've been the ones to beat, and they still are. Yeah, it surprised me as much as it did you.
Any additional questions, Jacob?
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport for Clint. Don't give away any trade secrets, but with the new Mustang, what have you noticed feel-wise in the draft that's different compared to the Fusion last year, if anything?
Well, I mean, have you ever driven a Fusion? And then have you ever got out of that and gotten a Mustang? I mean, you actually get some looks. You know, like you stop at the stoplight, and you might get a look every now and then. Damn right, I feel better than a Mustang.
Go to Hill.
I love you, Blair.
Yeah, Clint, over here in the corner. Had to be disappointing. You led so many laps. When you're out front leading lap after lap after lap like that, how mentally stressful is that to you, and how hard is it to keep your focus when you know somebody's maybe going to make a run on you at any moment? Just how tough is that?
Stress, no. Focus, yes. It was, I mean, you know, I was just counting down the laps and, you know, a 2.5 mile racetrack. He started at 30, and Brett was having a hell of a time counting them down. One time we were coming to 11 to go, and then we went back to coming to 11 to go, and then then we went to 6 to go, and I think we made it back to 9 to go at one time. I was like, something's going on here. But, I mean, we're just trying to have a little bit of fun. It did remind me of, you ever watch the Winter Olympics when they skate like that and they draft each other and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose? That's exactly the storm that I knew was coming. And I just didn't think that damn Joey would do it from fourth. I thought Denny was going to be the pain, not Joey.
Bruce?
How do you think Sunday's race will kind of play out? I know in the first race, some guys were saying with a shorter field, the draft is just different than when you get 40 out there. And just how much does that really change the dynamic? And especially, you know, the race on Sunday being a day race that'll end in the evening.
Well, the only thing I can tell you is once those cars get single file like that, I mean, just look at the lap times. That tells the story. And once those lap times pick up, you know, a second, literally a second, you know, and the longer that chain got, the faster I went up front. You know, I was just keeping an eye. And I told Brett, and, you know, one time, I was like, the chain must have got longer because we picked up like 3/10, just boom. As soon as the 9 cars started getting antsy back there, slow down, you know what I mean? As soon as they get back in line, I could see our lap times pick back up. That's part of it. That's part of aero. That's part of learning. You can't unlearn things that we've learned, you know. Will it go back to 3-wide, 4-wide, chaotic, Daytona like it always is? Probably at some point. You know, you can't forget the stages, the impact that the stages have on our sport. They're always there. They always provide excitement. Even if you want to exclude that out of your mind, you know, as a race car driver and say, hey, this is the Daytona 500. This is my one opportunity. Screw a bunch of stage points. I don't want to talk about stage points. They're still real, and you still catch yourself going for them, you know, when those stages come to a close. So that's going to play a role in it. A lot of things. I saw the 11 and some other guys having trouble with handling. As that happens, you know, you could see that 9. You could dip down. There's a lot of cars that could dip down and, you know, get them a spot or two, and we've seen that over the years. You know, that's doable. I don't know. I think you might see some other things too.
For me, you know, the stage points, there's all sorts of different stories in a race. You know, they're running for stage points. They're running for those championship points. I'm not. So I just want to be there. You know, I can screw things up. I can pit before a stage ends to try to have a lead, you know, when they come out and have my stuff done. So there's all sorts of things I can do. So I think this race, look, every year we've said, oh, it's going to look like this, and then it looks completely different. You never can tell until we start racing, and you put 40 of us out there. I promise you it won't be one 40-long chain the entire race. I mean, there's no way that'll happen.
Guess what they're going to see?
One 40-long chain?
You.
I don't have my face on the car, though. Huh? I didn't do the Corey.
That was bad.
It looked good to me when he was pushing me today. Thanks, Corey.
Additional questions? I think he's going to eat you every lap.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us, and good luck Sunday in the Daytona 500. Okay.